In the way of announcements, we will have the service today, and several of the family members are going to come up and share. And after they're done sharing, we'll have a time where anyone in the congregation can share a memory of Virgetta. And then I'll give the eulogy, and we'll sing a song, say a prayer, and then we'll travel out to the cemetery where we'll lay her to rest. And the family has asked that if you're not going to the cemetery, if you would just go ahead and start eating without us. You don't have to wait till we get back, and then we'll catch up after we get back, right? Okay, there's plenty of food there. I'd like to begin by reading from Psalm 121. I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over Israel will not slumber. Indeed, he will not slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Reading from God's Word. At this time, we have a congregational song in the garden, and Joe and Peggy will lead us. And if you're able, I invite you to stand, and the words will be up on the screen.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'll stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Thank you. Please be seated. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this afternoon and we seek your presence. We seek your comfort. Lord, we thank you for the life of Virgetta Erickson. We thank you for her love for you, her love for family, and her faithfulness to both. Lord, I just pray as we remember her and honor her life and her death, that your name will be lifted up and that you will be praised. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Reading the obituary of Virgetta Ann Erickson, age 87, of Monroe, entered into the mansion over the hilltop on Tuesday, January 23, 2018, at Pleasant View Nursing Home. Virgetta was born in Deaconess Hospital in Monroe on July 11, 1930, the daughter of David and Viola Palmer Schumacher. She graduated from Monroe High School in 1948 and married David Rowe Erickson on February 26, 1949 at St. Victor's Catholic Church. They farmed for 42 years in the Blanchardville, Judah, and Browntown areas before retiring to Mount Home, Arkansas in 1994. She was a member of the Family of God at Martintown Community Church, and a former member of the Esther Rebecca Lodge and the Women of the Moose, number 599. She loved time spent with her family. She enjoyed entertaining, baking, cooking, and watching television, especially Fox News and the Game Show Network. Virgetta is survived by her four children, Mary, and husband Verdeen Shervin of Monticello, Charles and his wife Marcia Erickson of Browntown, Jay Erickson and Karen Allen of Browntown, and Josh and wife Carla Erickson of Monroe, a daughter-in-law Karen Erickson of Monroe, 12 grandchildren, 22 great-grandchildren, and 2 great-great-grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her parents and grandparents, her husband David in September 2000, and son Gary in March of 2003. Virgetta's family would like to extend a special thank you to the Monroe Clinic Hospice and the Pleasant View doctors, nurses, and extended staff for the compassionate care given to their mother and grandmother. The next passage of scripture that I'm going to read this afternoon comes from Proverbs chapter 31, and this is often called the chapter of the virtuous woman. And when I met with the family on Friday here at the church, they requested that we read this in honor of their mother and grandmother, Virgetta. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than riches. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. I might add, while she lives in Arkansas. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. At this time, several members of the family are going to come and share some memories of Virgetta. So I'll ask if they come up and we'll line up here on the stage, and we'll have Aaron's going to start and Charlie's going to end it. And then when we're done with that, if you would like to share something, we'll open it up to all of you.
Good afternoon. Okay. I wrote a little something about my grandma. I have lots of memories of my grandma. When I was a child, getting cows home for milking, I would always stop at her house at the end of the pasture, mostly because I wanted to get some candy. Anytime we needed help with something, we would ask grandma for home remedies for a cold or a sliver. One time I had an ingrown toenail and I wouldn't let my mom do it. I had to wait for Grandma. Never hurt as bad when she did it. We always spent a lot of time with Grandma and Grandpa because we lived so close until they moved to Arkansas. We had many memories going down to visit them. Grandma always made sure we had 3 square meals a day, going up Push Mountain Road to Cody's for dinner, Skipper's for catfish. Grandma loved her little church in Arkansas, also going there Saturday afternoon singing with her favorite song was Mansion Over the Hilltop. Then we would have food afterwards with her church family. Grandma had a way with words to make you laugh. When Sam and Jess wouldn't like what they were eating, they would chew their food for long periods of time. Grandma said they were masticating their food. First time I ever heard that. Grandma loved playing cards. Phase 10 was one of her favorites. I remember before she started playing one time, she went into the back room, brought out a bottle of brandy. She had it hidden and said, "Would you like a little drinky?" 80 years old, and she had to hide her brandy so she wouldn't get scolded, I guess. When Leah was born, the first person we stopped to see was Great-Grandma. She was so proud to see Leah. She gave her baby brush, 85 years old, as a keepsake. One year I was slow at work, so many Friday mornings I would get her Dunkin' Donuts from Monroe. And that was a big thing, because she never had Dunkin' Donuts. So one Friday, I'd always buy donuts, and one Friday, Grandma had a $5 bill, and she said, "I got it today." And I said, "No, Grandma, I insist, I got it." And she said, "No, I found this blowing around by the dumpster." So, and we laughed. Then on Sundays, we would go out to eat lunch somewhere. But she felt up to it, where she would always have lunch on the stove, even when it got hard to cook, or she would ask if we could go get fried chicken from the pig, with JoJo potatoes for Leo, for Leah. Grandma loved all our family and taught us a lot. Romans 10:9 tells us, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he raised God from the dead, you will be saved. Until we meet again in heaven, Grandma, love you. And she loves Psalm 23 also, and my wife's going to read that. Thank you.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters and restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Okay, I'm going to share a few memories of my grandma. I remember when Chad and I went to Arkansas after we got married, because grandma and grandpa couldn't come back, and grandma took us out for Chinese. And grandpa got one of his coughing spells, and grandma got out of her purse Tylenol bottle, and grandpa took a swig. Well, in the Tylenol bottle was brandy. So grandma liked her brandy. And her purse, I mean, grandma with an open index in her purse, we thought that was pretty funny. And one day I was having a hard day, and I'm like, Grandma, can I come over and spend the night? And she's like, sure, I'm not going anywhere. I don't have a car anymore, so I went over there and we hung out all night and we talked and talked and talked and talked until like midnight. And I will remember that day for the rest of my life. I'll cherish it, and there's more memories, but thank you.
Again, I'd like to thank you all for coming today on behalf of the Erickson families for this joyous celebration today for my mother. Bible scripture tells us all our days are numbered from the days of inception and the womb of our mothers to the last breath that we take here in our earthly bodies. And may I share today with you the earthly life of Mom, Virginia Erickson. She was born a unique person. God makes each one of us to his liking. Mom's name, Virgetta, is one of a kind in itself. Through the years, people were impressed by the beauty in it, never having heard that name before. Virgetta, Mom, was born on July 11, 1930, in the Old Deaconess Hospital off the Square of Monroe. She was proud the same birth as her Uncle Chester, the same day. She always told everyone, thinking that was special to her. Mom was the only child in her family. She told me that Grandpa and Grandma were married 5 years before having her. She said 7.5 months into her Grandma Viola's term of carrying her, she was struck by lightning, hanging out clothes to dry. Grandma Viola was being paranoid of that, never wanted to have any other children. Mom grew up on 16th Avenue Monroe, going to Monroe, the old North School. She attended kindergarten there and grade in high school, what is now the middle school. Great-grandpa Parmer lived with Mom and Grandpa Dave and Grandma Viola for many years until his 94th birthday. Mom said the Shoemaker house was called the old people's home. As she could remember, as people needed care or were ill, they would come there to recover. Grandma Viola was a wonderful cook and baker. She lived and entertained, Mom said, and I too remember the Sundays before people would come to the house for the delicious meals everyone would enjoy. Baked chicken, roast beef, cobblewurst, that was my Grandpa Dave's special meal. Salads, breads, puddings, all made with love. Mom learned to cook and bake from the best. Growing up, Mom and Dad too had people come over for meals on Sundays, mostly. She would make chicken and roast beef as before, but we had it raised and butchered, making it all the better in taste and enjoyment. Mom and Dad were married at St. Victor's Church, February 26, 1949, at 7 a.m. in the morning. She said after that, Grandma made breakfast for them, fit for a king at the house, and for her and them and the attendants and cousins. That night, Mom and Dad went to Freeport and ate at a Jewish restaurant. Had leg of lamb. And stayed overnight in Freeport. The next day, at Grandma's house, they had open gifts, and another meal was served. And that night, everyone celebrated with a wedding dance at the Shoemaker Hall in Browntown, which was owned and ran by her aunt and uncle, Sam and Hermione Schumacher. When first married, Dad worked as a farm laborer, and Mary was born in 1949 in Monroe. In 1950, they moved to Janesville, and Dad started working at GM Automobiles. They've lived in an apartment on Art Street. In August of 1851, I was born, on my Grandpa Dave's birthday, a special day to me, at Mercy Hospital. In March 1st, 1952, Mom and Dad moved to Blancherville, where Dad started farming on Grandpa Herman's farm. Mom said, if that is what your dad always wanted to do was farming. Working in town wasn't for him. Gary was born in Blancherville on May 30th, 1953. She said raising kids and farming was a challenge, but they had a great time back then, neighboring together, working to thrash their grains and fill the silo, cut wood, and all was hard work, but they also neighbored, played cards, enjoyed each other's fellowship, and attended church. In 1956, Mama, Dad, Gary, and I moved to the west of Judah on the farm across from Hoop Salvage Yard. And 2 years later, 1958, we moved to Judah, farm south of Judah, and my sweet little brothers, Jay and Josh, were born there in 61 and 63. And in 1966, we moved to Browntown, just north of Martintown, where I still live. Mom helped on the farm doing chores, haying, milking, cooking meals, as we all did and were expected to do. We suffered the consequences. Mom and Dad gave us the work ethic of making us do the chores on the farm, day in and out, a lesson that serves us all well today in making us independent, self-supporting families in our own making. Mom, in 1968, also worked at Advanced Transformer and at Frito-Lay for 10 years until she had back surgery. They farmed with me and Marcia until 1994 when they moved to Mountain Home, Arkansas. Mom loved it in the Ozarks, the mild winters and the beautiful lakes. Dad passed away in 2000, but Mom stayed there and joined the church, the Oakland Baptist Church, accepted Jesus as her Savior, and was joyful for being baptized and immersed in the Lake Norfolk, an experience she said she'll always remember while here on this earth. And in June of 94, Mom moved back to Monroe into the St. John's Apartments. She was comfortable there and all and enjoyed her neighbors and fellowship of them. We all pray and wish for a long and healthy, fulfilled life, that we may be at peace on earth before we truly enter into the comfort and glory of the heavens above, a place where Jesus is preparing for us right now. I say this with thanksgiving in my heart. Bridgette Ann Shoemaker, our mother, grandmother, and friend here in the family of God, has and is experiencing that right now. Sharing with you some scripture that Mom had outlined in her Bible. She loved Proverbs. So I'd like to share a couple with you. Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. That was Mom. Proverbs 15:23, a person finds joy in giving an apple pie, and how good is a timely word. Proverbs 19:13, discipline your children, for this is their hope. Do not be a willing partner to their death. And finally, Proverbs 22:6, the most true to life. Start your children off in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Words of wisdom to follow and live by. And I thanks to Mom for teaching them to my siblings, and Mary, Gary, Jay, and Josh, and myself. Amen. In closing, I'd like to share, the last 3 months were very uncomfortable and challenging for Mom. It was hard for her to breathe, the swelling in her legs and the fluid buildup, having pneumonia in October and never getting over that setback. On December 10th, going to the ER and then to the hospital till the 15th when she entered Pleasant View, and the 21st into hospice. She was given excellent care by the doctors and nurses, hospice volunteers, and extended workers there. To help her each day, we had many talks of the past that comforted her. One day, a time of joy to her, was September 16th, 2017, just 4 months ago. Mom's granddaughter, my niece Angie and Jed Keepers, were husband and wife wed there. I officiated at the wedding ceremony, a beautiful day for the weather, the location, and company, Mom said. She enjoyed it, saying it was a wonderful, wonderful day, the best of days ever. So as she was in bed at the nursing home, she had these comforting thoughts of days past, not only in the 16th of September, but of sons, granddaughters, great-grandchildren, friends, and pastors who visited her. And I think, thank you, and Mom does also. And I'd like to share with you very comforting scriptures to me and for each of us today that Mom has already experienced. 21st chapter of Revelation 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city in the new Jerusalem coming down out of the heavens from above, from God, prepared as a bride beautiful, he dressed for her husband. And I heard a voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be with their God. And I will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the order of things has passed away."
Thank you, Aaron and Jennifer, Tracy and Charlie. What a history. Would someone in the congregation like to share a memory of Virgetta? You can right there, if we can hear you.
Like the slightest thing.
Thank you. Amy.
I have a poem I want to read that I thought of Grandma when I first read it. So, and then I want to go with the how she always liked to feed everybody, and I love to feed people too and make things. And one time she came over, and I always made big meals. Anytime it comes over, I'm making meals, I'm baking cakes, and I love cooking. So she made a big meal, and I had this beautiful, German chocolate cake, and I cut her a piece that was like, my husband probably could eat too. I mean, that, and then so, Grandma and I put it down on the tray, and everybody just started laughing, and I go, what? Grandma's like, well, that's a big piece, but I'm gonna eat it all. So she did, she ate it all, and it was just, wow. I mean, it just that, and so many memories, but this is a poem I'm gonna read for Grandma and everybody. A wife, a mother, a grandma too. This is a legacy that I have from you. You taught us love and how to fight. You gave us strength, you gave us might. A stronger person would be hard to find, and in your heart you were always kind. You fought for us in one way or another, not just as a wife, not just as a mother. For all of us, you give your best. Now the time has come for you to rest. So go in peace, you've earned your sleep. Your love is in our hearts. We eternally keep.
Thank you, Amy. Well, I'm here today to bring a message of hope and peace. Charlie has read from Revelation chapter 21, where it talks of this place that is so wonderful that our minds cannot begin to comprehend the significance of it. And that's because difficulty and disappointment and death and sorrow and pain are so much a part of everyday life that we can't imagine living in a place called heaven where there'll be no death or sorrow or crying or pain, because all of that is gone forever. This is no fun being here today, but the Bible tells us that one day, all these types of things will be gone and forgotten forever. But even better than that is now, if we ask God, He will give us peace and joy in the midst of life's pain and sorrows. Brigetta Erickson lived a good life, a long life. She loved life. She loved her family. She always looked forward to spending time with them, which was all the time. She spent 19 years living in Arkansas, and I really don't know how she did it, because every time I went to her house or to the hospital or the nursing home to see her, she had family packed in every corner of the room that she was in. And if there were only one or two there when I arrived, it wasn't long until there were five or six or more. And I've never seen anything like it. Her family had an uncommon love for their mother and their grandmother. And you're here today because Brigetta Erickson had an impact upon your life in one way or another. And every now and then in one's lifetime, God brings a unique individual to this earth to add blessing and enrichment to the lives of those around them. And Brigetta was one of those people. A few weeks ago, I called Charlie to see how his mom was doing, because ever since she was admitted to the hospital and then the nursing home, she had good days and bad days. And one just never knew what each new day would bring. And Charlie told me at that time that Bridgetta was not sleeping well at night. And Charlie and Marcia and other family members would spend many hours a day sitting with her in the nursing home. And after they had gone home, Bridgetta would ask the night nurse to call and see if Charlie could come back up and sit with her. So Charlie would drive back to Monroe and sit with his mom into the late hours of the night. And Charlie said to me, "I think she's just full of anxiety." And so he asked me if I would be able to spend some one-on-one time with his mom. And I said I would if I could, but every time I went to see her, the place was already packed. So after praying and asking God to provide us with some time, I went up the next day, and when I walked in, it was just Charlie and Marcia there. And we chatted a bit, and then Charlie, seizing the opportunity, told Bridgetta that he and Marcia were going to go out for lunch. And they left. And so I read some scripture verses to Bridgetta, and I read some short stories from a Max Lucado book that Charlie had given me. And she listened intently, but I could tell she was losing interest when she started snoring. And so I put the book down and I said, "Bridgetta, are you afraid to die?" She said, "No." As Charlie shared with us, she said that she had committed her life to Jesus Christ many years ago, and her faith had grown deeply while attending church in Arkansas. She was baptized as a believer in 2005, and there's a certificate of it on the table back there. And she told me how she prayed and had asked God to help her when she traveled that long distance from Arkansas to Wisconsin so many times all by herself after David had passed away. She told me how God walked with her through her illnesses, and when she had to spend some time in the nursing home for rehab back in Arkansas. We talked about Gary passing away suddenly in 2003 and how she never really ever got over that, even to this day. And as we talked, tears were streaming down her face, and she was constantly wiping them away. And in the process, her oxygen thing in her nose came out. And she said to me, "Can you put that thing back in?" And I said, "Shouldn't we call a nurse?" And she said, "Oh no, it'll take them until tomorrow to get here. And I'll be dead by then." So I tried to position that thing back up in her nostrils, and she kindly and patiently thanked me. But a little while later, she said, "You did it wrong." That oxygen line had fallen out again, so I fiddled around with it, and I finally got it to stay in place, but it still wasn't right. And I told her, I said, "I'm a preacher, not a nurse." And she said, "Well, you're a nurse now." In all this, while we talked, and I asked her what she was anxious about, she said she was afraid that she would get turned away when she stood before the Lord. And I explained to her that our salvation is secure, and I quoted 1 John 5:13, where the Apostle John says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And I told her how Jesus told the story in Luke 16 about a person who died and God sent his angels to take him to heaven. And I told her that Psalm 116 says, when they arrive at the gates of death, God welcomes those who love him. And I explained that that means that God is on this side of eternity, on this side of the gates to heaven, waiting to welcome his children home. She didn't have to be afraid. She would never be alone, and God would walk with her the whole way. And I held her hand as we talked, and she squeezed my fingers, and tears streamed down her face. And then I prayed and I asked for God's peace to overwhelm her soul, to give her the rest that Jesus promised in Matthew 11:28, where he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we chatted a little while longer, and then Jay stopped in. God had given us all the time that we needed. And I got up to leave, and I said to her, I said, I'm going to leave now. And Bridgetta said, you don't have to go yet. And I said, well, yes, I do. So I said goodbye, and she thanked me, and she said that she had complete peace now. And I knew she did. Sometimes the devil will tempt us with doubt and try to scare us. But our God is bigger than he. And though Satan might succeed in alarming us in the short term, he can never separate us from God. Nothing can separate us from God. So I left there that day feeling blessed. First of all, blessed to know Bridgetta, to have a friendship with her that lasted all these years, and actually being related to her through marriage. And I was blessed by her faith, because hers was a strong, quiet faith. Her life was nothing really out of the ordinary. She did whatever the task was as she faced the day, but she made a difference in every day, in the every day, just doing what needed to be done. And people who knew her appreciated her for all those good things, and she blessed so many people. But I felt blessed by God after talking to her, because here was someone who was hanging on to the promises of Scripture that God would take her safely to the other shore. And so today we lay to rest a beloved person in Bridgetta Erickson. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says, there's a time for everything under the sun, a season for activity, a time to be born and a time to die, time to plant, a time to uproot, time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The Bible says that God has ordained our days for us. Psalm 90, it says, the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength, and they quickly pass away. So teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. God gave Virgetta 87 years of a good long life and a great family, and she'll be missed by everyone who knew her. But before us here today, we have Virgetta's empty body. Her soul has gone on to eternity, and the question that begs for an answer is, what comes next? Where's Virgetta right now? And what's she doing? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed unto man to die once, and after this, the judgment. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8 that to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. I mentioned Psalm 116, verse 15, where it says, when they arrive at the gates of death, God welcomes those who love him. Last Tuesday night, after spending so many days with her family, coming and going and sitting by her side, God summoned his angels, and he sent them to bring Virgetta home. And when she got to the front door of heaven, God was standing there, and he said, welcome home, Virgetta. John 14:2 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. People always want to know, how do I get there? People say, well, God knows I've tried. But the Bible tells us it's not about how hard we try. It's not on our merit that gets us there. It's on what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. It's his merit. The Bible tells us that we naturally have a place created within us where Jesus Christ desires to dwell. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has made each one of us with a place in our for him in our lives, and he has set eternity in the heart of man. The Bible says that we're all sinners, that there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us that we can have peace with God and eternal life because the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when you turn to God and confess your sins and ask for his forgiveness, he promises to cleanse you from all guilt and wrong and replace all that bad stuff with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. After David passed away, when they were living in Arkansas, Virgetta loved it down there. And she would come home about once a year, right? Usually about in September. And she stayed down there for 13 years after David passed away. And her church family took the place of her family. And was it the Salvation Army Church or the Red Cross? Salvation Army. And they taught her the things of Jesus Christ and the need for repentance and committing your life to him. And I believe that God led them to Arkansas so that Virgetta could develop this faith and that it would grow, and that she would come to an understanding of what it means to be a child of God's. And she always speaks of that time there with so much admiration, and she missed it, I think, every day. And I think part of it was because the Holy Spirit had done a wonderful work in her life at that time. When she had come to the place where she recognized and understood what it meant for Jesus to die on the cross in her place, to take his sin upon himself, that she might come and through faith receive the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. When you turn to God and confess your sins and ask for his forgiveness, he promises to cleanse you of all guilt and wrong. And when God looks at you, he'll see you then as perfect in his eyes, just like Jesus. And he promises to give you peace on the inside. God is the one who judges the heart of man, and God is a loving and righteous God. And today, God is looking at your heart. It says in 2 Chronicles 16:9 that the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely committed to him. So what's your standing today with God? Is he your friend? Do you know him through Jesus Christ, and are your sins forgiven and washed away? It's possible to face death with confidence and not be afraid. And you can find God today. You don't have to do anything religious. You just have to open up your heart and say, Lord, I need you. And I want to confess my sins before you and proclaim you as Lord of my life. Aaron read the verse from Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth one confesses and with the heart one believes. That was one of Virgetta's key verses. When you get home today, take your Bible and ask God to show himself to you as you read, and then begin reading. Start in the New Testament in the book of John. And God promises that you'll find him. Because in Jeremiah 29:13, God says, when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. It takes a hunger and it takes a heart of seeking God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that right now in the calmness and the quietness of this hour, with our minds focused on life after this life, and with our curiosity piqued as to where Virgetta is and how she got there, knowing down deep in the innermost part of our soul that each one of us will one day be as she is and stand before you, and you will ask us, what have you done with my son, Jesus Christ? Lord, I pray that we might answer the call of your Holy Spirit, that still small voice, and commit ourselves to you and receive you as Lord and Savior. Father, I thank you for the legacy that Virgetta has left behind, her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Thank you for her sense of humor, for her love, for her no-nonsense approach to life. And Lord, I thank you that you promise us that we can see her again if we commit to you. So I pray with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing Bridgetta's favorite song, I've Got a Mansion Just Over the Hilltop. And I'll ask you to stand, and the words, again, will be up on the screen.
Satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright kind where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophets my pillow was stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely, I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city, I want a mansion, a harp and crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the promises of your word, of a beautiful city where all the unattractiveness of life is just a faint memory of the past, that you're there now preparing a place for those who love you. I thank you, Lord, for the blessings that come from an obedient life. I thank you for the blessings that you poured out upon Bridgetta. Thank you for the example that she set for all of us. Thank you for her love for you, for her family. I thank you, Lord, that we can cherish the moments, and that you have, in the midst of sorrow, filled our hearts with gladness. So I pray now that your peace might overwhelm us. And I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That concludes our service. We will travel to the cemetery and then lay Bridgetta to rest.